Хотя бы не по дороге.
Well, I don't know. We could do tomorrow we'll something else. Rachel, oh, I love you. I'm glad you're here. Rachel, there's papers for you to sign. Yes. I love those glasses. For those, and you talked to her. She was Miss Pulley. That lady was here. Was this Miss Pulley?
Yeah, yeah, she never
said. Okay. So Miss Pulley said, those papers, I've never signed those papers. She said, very so I asked her, okay. It's that green thing.
Yes.
So make sure you hand it to her. She said it would be secure. It would be good.
Okay, you're rolling.
Today's the 7th.
Okay.
It's here. You went in there.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, she's right
thank
there.
You.
Okay.
You're welcome.
She's the one who's going to get
the drink. Okay. Just, girls, are you ready?
Margaret? Yes, they're ready.
Miss Mary, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Sonia? Good evening. This will be the board workshop agenda review of the Board of Trustees of the Kaneateo Independent School District. It's December the 7th, 2016. It is 5:11 p.m. And Sonia, would you please call roll?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Brigham?
Ms. Brigham called. She'll be late this evening, but she believes she'll be here.
Ms. Gracie?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Mr. Rodriguez will not be here this evening. He called and said he would be absent.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
Mrs. Trout?
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Here.
Item number 2, Board Agenda Review. Discuss agenda items as listed. Recommend motions with administration and receive responses to questions and or requests for additional information through the superintendent in preparation for deliberation, action, and possible consent on said items at the December 14th, 2016 regular Board of Trustee meeting. A. Board of Trustee business. Number 1. Discussion and recommendation regarding board member continuing education credits for the 2016 calendar year per BPD and PR legal. Mrs. Searles?
Before we get started on this, with the board's permission, ladies, I'd like to just stop for a moment. And today is Pearl Harbor Day, and I think that it's the right and good thing for all of us just to stop and think about what happened. I believe it was 75 years ago today that our country was attacked. I can barely get through saying it. So take a moment, and we'll just pause. Dr. Galavis-Sedpine with you, ladies, you could, for all that served and all that died. Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for our freedom. Boy, that chokes me up. So we've got on here everybody's continuing board member education credit hours for 2016. Does anybody have any changes, additions? God bless you. Sonia, I'd like to really thank you that this past year it was real nice how you kept the board apprised on a continual basis of what it was, so that tonight we weren't going, oh, well, I don't think that's it. Yeah, it's really good. Thank you. We all appreciate you in doing that. Yes. And could you also please note, we're going to have a board training this evening, and that will add 3 hours to each person's continuing education credit hours. So everybody good with that? And we'll send it to the regular board meeting?
With the updated minutes.
With the updated?
Ms. Rose, do you want that in consent or new business? The updated
I think it's fine for consent. Do y'all have a...
Okay.
It's fine.
Yes.
Thank you. B, Business Services, discussion and recommendation regarding meeting minutes. A, October 25th, 2016, regular board meeting.
Anybody questions? Comments? Thank you. To the consent agenda, please.
Thank you. B, November 17th, 2016, regular board meeting.
Any questions or comments? Everybody good with the minutes? Yes? It's fine, Sonia.
That would consent. Number two, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly financials.
To consent.
Item number three, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly warrant list.
I had called earlier this week to Ms. Bukarski and posed a few questions to her. Did anybody else have any questions?
No.
No? To the consent agenda, please.
Yes, ma'am. Item number four, discussion and recommendation regarding budget amendments.
Good to go.
Item number five, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly donation report.
It's really nice everybody gives us these donations each month. And thank you, Dr. Galavis, for sending out the thank you cards.
Yes,
Sonia, that's fine too.
Okay, so by consent, number six, discussion and recommendation to approve the purchase and installation of overhead projectors for Benoit Elementary School utilizing Plan B Networks in under the Region 19 RFP contract number 14-6919, this vendor offers the best value to the user in an amount of $10,362.
Are there any questions on this? Anybody have any? That'll be fine to go to the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonia, before you proceed, I know we have some visitors in the audience this evening that have agenda items on. And could we please move those forward? That would be C1, we'll start with, and then I believe...
We're going to wait on that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, C1 is it. Thank you.
All right. Pops up.
So we're going to go to C, curriculum and instruction, number one. This discussion and recommendation regarding the approval of
what's
the memorandum of understanding between Canto ISD and Project Vida. Dr. Reyes.
Good evening, Dr. Reyes.
Good evening. Thank you, Madam President, Dr. Galavis, and Board of Trustees. We're bringing an item to you all in reference to a memorandum of understanding between Gunnville ISD and Project Vida. So with us, we have Bill Schlesinger.
Good evening, sir.
And Cheryl Feldman.
Good evening.
From Project Vida. We are proposing to open up a site here in Gunnville as a community-based health center. So in that capacity, what we would like to do is to have a site at the Lone Star Building where we actually have a health worker that will be there full-time during operation hours or business hours. That person would be there to provide basic needs, help with enrollment, do some consultations on medical, trying to get the Affordable Act or whatever it is that they need as far as medical issues are concerned. And then we would have a health provider who would come in once a week, and we would have about 15 to 20 appointments that we would be able to accommodate our community with the potential of maybe even offering sports physicals during the time that we need to, especially for those that cannot afford it. So that's basically that in a nutshell. We would look at this point, if the board does approve the memorandum of understanding, having a temporary mobile unit that would come out and be placed at the Lone Star Building so that we could work on potential sites as to where that community-based health center. Dr. Galavis, did you want
No, go
to?
Ahead.
Okay. So that's what the memorandum of understanding is at this point. So we're asking for your approval so that we can provide another service to our community that is definitely a need. So I don't know if you all had the opportunity to read the memorandum of understanding.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Ms. Stroud, do you have any questions?
About this, I would like to ask, it's very important that you said it's going to provide some sports physicals and provide also another kind of aid over all the persons with a low income, or how does this work?
Exactly. It's a wraparound service where we would provide medical service, health education. We would like to have a classroom where the community health worker would actually
they go and take classes over there also?
They could, absolutely. We do that on our campuses anyway, mm-hmm. as part of our parent university. We offer workshops at the campuses for immediate location, but this would be another support and service to provide our community, especially in the hub of Ganotillo, where we tend to have a lot more walkers and community members that are low income.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Fritzi?
I did have a question, Ms. Rose. how about immunizations? Would they be able to, for when school started, because I know sometimes it's difficult for parents to get to their primary doctors.
That's part of primary care.
Okay. So immunizations, physicals, things. Is the program looking to any kind of being, because I know we used to have a pharmacy here in town, and we no longer have a pharmacy here in town. The closest one would actually be Anthony and Walgreens. So would they have any connection to be able, because I know once they see a doctor or a nurse practitioner, what happens to the prescription part?
And we discussed that there is potential opportunity to have a pharmacy. We just have to make sure that wherever our facility is housed or the site is housed, that we ensure that all of the criteria is met and the requirements to hold a pharmacy.
Right, that it's secure. So,
but that is a potential. We had talked about that too. Okay. I just didn't want to jump too
far. Right, because now our closest one is also going to be the UMC Medical Center that they can also qualify on a scale basis. So, yes, I think that would be very, very, very good in our community, especially now that we lost the very small pharmacy that we did have.
Thank you, Ms. Mary Gaff, any questions?
I do. Would it be available for our staff also?
It's available for any community member.
Okay.
We opted to go with a community-based health clinic rather or health center rather than a school-based.
Good.
Because the community is really, I mean, if a parent is sick as well, it
right.
affects the child. So we want to make sure we provide that direct
great.
Support.
Thank you.
And you do feel that you will give immunizations right there on?
We already, all of our clinic sites
good.
Do immunizations.
Okay, super.
Madam President, may I make
yes, please.
I would like to know if the help is going to provide based on the income.
Go ahead.
We have a sliding scale. Anybody who's 100% of poverty, federal poverty guidelines, or below, there's a nominal fee, but we don't refuse service for inability to pay. Then from 100% to 200%, there are three different scale levels that move up, and then above 200%, it's full fare.
Thank you very much.
We also take all insurances.
Insurances.
Medicaid, Medicare, private insurances. It really is intended not just to be a clinic for low-income folk, but for underserved areas. Mm-hmm. And so this qualifies as an underserved area, so it's open to anybody.
Mostly every could be TRICARE as well?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And we also take CHOICE.
CHOICE. Thank you very much.
When will it be available? When are you planning to?
We're looking at January.
All right.
January.
Well, and it all depends if the Memorandum of Understanding is approved and Dr. Gadavis approves as well. Then yes, that's what we're looking at as our timeline is to have a mobile unit available in January, housed there in the parking area of Lone Star.
Madam President,
yes.
For me, as we're discussing here, possibly could it be a site where our high school kids could go volunteer? Because I know they have to do a certain amount of hours, so maybe something that you could think about in the future. That way it'll connect with our strand. Kids can volunteer, just sign
people.
One
of the things that we're doing in Socorro ISD is we're operating a program called Power for Youth, and we would be looking down the road at developing a similar program with y'all if you're interested. It's an after-school training, education, volunteer, service learning program. We've had extensive experience with that with Clint and with EPISD.
And how about any mental health?
We have a child and adolescent psychiatrist on staff who's available. We have a pediatric nurse, psychiatric nurse practitioner. We have also counselors, LCSW. So we do an integrated package. We also deal with substance abuse because all of those things affect each other.
Okay, so
and particularly
pretty
with
much
diabetes, as prevalent as diabetes is, 60% of people who are diabetic experience clinical depression. Mm-hmm. And if you don't treat the depression, they self-treat, and then the diabetes.
Right, and then
worse.
You end up with the dual diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, thank you, Ms. Harris.
Yeah, sure. One thing, because I want to make sure that we aren't transparent
yes.
in all of this. I have conversed with Mr. Vasquez, and so we are looking at the Lone Star building, trying to determine where we can actually make this site an official site. Of course, I would like to have it at the Lone Star building, but I don't know. We would have to kind of come to the table on that situation. So, Dr. Gadavis, did you want to...
No, I think you're right. We have toured the Lone Star building, and we've looked at it. Hasn't been in use for a while, so it does need some cleaning. It does need some tiles, and however to give our community this opportunity of having health care, especially there, is wonderful. And so when they mention the mobile unit while we're assessing to see, because there is going to be a cost associated with fixing up the Lone Star building to for code violations, and that's when we walked it with Mr. Vasquez and Mr. Arnold. But again, I think that's what Dr. Ray is talking about, transparency about. Again, they provide the services, we provide the facility.
We're looking, because I know I see some confused faces, we're looking at the area, that hallway that runs parallel to 5th Street before you get to the two-story part.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That portion right there has been closed off for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I so want it.
Oh, okay.
And so
it's nice.
this was one of the proposals.
It has really big rooms.
Yeah, it's
yes,
a really
it
nice.
Those,
yes. Nice yeah. bathrooms in there.
I think
the
those were a lot of the kindergarten rooms, weren't they? Oh, okay.
The issue, though, is that we'll have to work closely with Mr. Vasquez to ensure how we can upkeep, maintain, and ensure that the building is up to code so that we can house it for opportunities like this.
And I'm sure, sir, you've had this presented to you before. You'll know how to work with them on...
We have, we work with PSNRBB architects,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually very helpful in coming in and helping do an assessment and design.
That's real nice.
Part of the MOU is also that we'll collaborate on identifying possible funding sources, match funds from the Meadows Foundation.
Great.
Sort of thing.
Okay.
Ms. Searles?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, I guess this is just a comment, but I know when we sent out the survey when we were doing... a lot of the public asked for us to repurpose a lot of our buildings that we're not using.
I think this is an awesome
so,
chance to do it.
Right,
yeah.
And then also we have the two right next to CMS, that those two
yes,
buildings
I know.
That need to still be repurposed for something.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. I think this is an awesome opportunity. And it looks like we all feel that
it's
way.
In a good central
it's
location.
In a super location. Great opportunity. Thank you, Dr. Reyes, for bringing this to us.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Reyes.
Thank you all for mm-hmm. supporting our community.
Yes.
My understanding is we'll pay electricity and janitorial?
Correct.
Okay.
We maintain the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they provide all of the personnel and the services.
Understand. I just, you know, so everybody knows just out. If you would, Dr. Reyes, could you keep us posted? You can see we're all really interested. You kind of got us on the line here. Keep us posted in the Thursday pack. It's not weekly or anything, but, you know, as things happen.
I'll make sure to, in January, when we have the mobile unit, we'll send a memo in Thursday packet to
that'd be know. Awesome.
So you're more than welcome to come and see the mobile unit so you can see it in action. It was right before it's going to be with us. It was, where was it, the mobile unit?
It was housed. I work primarily at Clinic of Guadalupana out in a Colonia near Horizon. And it was there 3 days a week. We've now been able to open the clinic building there. So it is available for the 1 day a week that we would need it.
When it's not here, we're using it to service the Center Against Family Violence, YWCA, mm-hmm. La Posada, and the Oliviani Women's and Children's Residential Center. So it's used where it's difficult for people to go out to a physical clinic.
So okay. as we move in that direction, we will certainly keep you all posted. And when it is available, we would...
Yeah, we want to come get our shots.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm teasing, not me either. Okay, everybody good? And you're good with this for the consent agenda?
Yes,
ma'am, Sonia. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please keep us posted. We're excited about this.
Ms. Salcedo.
Which one is she?
B9.
We have another request, board, to move B9 forward. We have Ms. Salcedo here. Is that fine with everyone?
Yes.
Mary? Okay. Please, Ms. Salcedo. So, Sonia, could you read B9?
Yes, ma'am. Discussion and recommendation to approve the purchase of computers and laptops for students and teachers, Bill Childress Elementary, in the classroom to support the academic progress. Utilizing Decision Tree Technologies, the vendor offering the best value to Garfield Independent School District through DIR-SDD-2030, Texas. Total amount is $20,200.
Are there any questions, Ms. Quintana, Ms. Trell?
Yeah. I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask, for example, this computers are going to be using for the whole elementary, certain grades only, for which, like mathematics, reading, or...
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Thank you.
Good evening.
If they're going to be able, if they're going to be able to take them home, they're going to have homework over there, the teachers are going to assist them over there, they're going to be able to...
So most of these are, this is a project that was started last year through our technology committee, and they requested that every year the computers be refurbished or replaced because the computers that we have currently are outdated, a lot of them, and they hadn't been replaced. And so this project going on with last year, we replaced a few last year, and so this year we're going to continue replacing. It's not all of them, so it's to take out the old ones and put in new ones in their place.
Okay. And this is going to be for every
grade level, the entire school, and our goal is in a couple of years, the entire building will be replaced with new computers.
And what kind of subjects are going to be in the computer?
We have math, reading, we have iStation in all areas. We do have some of the science, science software that the teachers use. And it's all content areas, math, science, social studies, and reading and language arts, of course.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes. Ms. Fritzi, any questions?
No, ma'am. No questions.
Ms. Mary, no? Okay. Everybody good for the consent agenda?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Sonia, that'll take us back now.
All right. Number 7, discussion and recommendation to approve the replacement of the data center ceiling-mounted comfort AC unit to the 10-ton rooftop unit in order to protect the electronics hosted inside CISD's data center. Utilizing PC Automated Controls Incorporated, the vendor offering the best value to CISD through Region 19, RFP contract number 15, 2022-7130, total not to exceed $14,200.
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes, I did have a couple questions for these, for this item. How much are we being charged per ton for this unit?
This is a 12 tons unit. So we divide. So this is not a lease. It says
10.
I'm sorry, it's a 10.
Okay.
Yeah, the existing one is a 12 ton unit.
Okay.
Okay. So we install in a 12. It's not a lease. Right, it's a one-time charge installation,
okay.
So we're not going to be charged per ton. It's installation.
It's a one-time.
It's one-time.
Okay, so. And how about maintenance and upkeep? Because I know that's happened often in our district where we purchase an item and then it's not up, kept up, and then we end up replacing it because the upkeep is not.
This comes with 3-year warranty.
Okay.
The existing equipment that we have, the 12-ton unit, that we have an agreement with Train,
okay.
The company.
So and this is also going to be, I'm sorry,
so we're
going
to add it
well?
To it, right? We don't want to add my maintenance in year one.
Okay.
Because
it's within the...
Right. So year two, we'll add it.
Okay.
And it's probably going to go up by about $600. We pay right now $960 for the existing unit.
Okay.
This is an additional unit. We're removing the one that is up in the ceiling. It's a comfort unit. It wasn't used. It's not for a data center room. The problem that we have right now is every time that temperatures are going mm-hmm. up, the unit that we have right now works 24 hours.
Right, it's freezing
so
up because it's overloading.
It's either freezing up or it gets shut down because parts fail, right? So we don't have a unit that we can rely on while the old one is being fixed. So this one will provide the same amount of cooling and it will allow us to keep the systems up and running without shutting down systems.
So, within the first year, it doesn't need any maintenance, or
it's,
okay,
it comes
just
included with,
it comes
with
included
with the equipment.
So then we purchase it the second year.
Yeah, and
okay.
we do preventive maintenance.
Okay.
Right? So it's anything that is corrective maintenance. That's something else. We just have an agreement for the company to come when something fails, but we don't set money aside. Right now.
Okay, so it's up to us to maintain it no matter what, right?
We do a combination. We get help from Bruno, right?
Okay.
Now, Bruno's people for that.
Okay.
If they cannot find the parts, then we go to this company, and then this company is more specialized in this equipment. They come and fix it.
Okay, so then at that point we would subcontract in case something that would. Okay.
Yes, it's a combination.
Okay. And so we are going to go with vendor A?
We're going to go with vendor, yes, the less expensive one.
Train?
PC, I don't mean it.
Okay.
Yes.
And I see that it's not a mechanical, so are they going to subcontract it out, you think, or they're going to do it themselves?
No, they do the full installation.
They're doing
yes.
themselves,
they do.
Okay. Okay, so my only concern with this is, again, is that the upkeep is so that we're not having to replace it because of lack of upkeep.
Right.
That's the only thing that I have an issue with. Of course, we need to replace it and it needs to be done. But I guess I ask the board that we need to remember that we need to ask administration to make sure that it is kept up so that we're not having to replace it sooner than usual.
And we have asked that.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yeah.
think the key to that, ladies, is that we're about to start into a budget year, a new budget year. And I agree with you. I think every one of us agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need to put our money where our mouth is and make sure there's enough money
mm-hmm.
that they can do that.
The upkeep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it will take money.
Like this is a unit, and well, it's a unit for his department,
yeah.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
But it falls on the
maintenance.
It does, completely.
And how long?
And they need the money to make sure they can get it done. And
how long do they usually last?
The unit that's up in the ceiling, I think, is more than 10 years old.
Okay.
And then the unit that is inside the data center, we purchased that out of Bond when we did the data center.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably 4 years old. that unit's still good,
okay.
but it's the only unit that we have. So when that one goes down, then we're running like crazy.
Right, and that is scary for all our systems to crash.
Tony, is that the one here?
The big unit that is very noisy, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has been about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
About, yeah. That was the first project that we did.
I was still working here at the time.
Oh, yeah, the one in the street.
Well, it's lasted then.
It's, yeah, so with an additional unit up in the ceiling, I think we can extend the life of the existing one in the data center. The plan is to shut this unit down during the winter mm-hmm. and then have the one in the ceiling work because it doesn't require that much. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then comes summer, the unit is, you know, rested, so we can pass the summer with the unit inside the room.
Okay.
Do we have any certified people on staff?
We do have some, right? Bruno, HVAC.
Yeah, they do.
HVAC. We have two.
Oh, we have two?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And they have helped us a lot in the past.
Yes, we do certify the HVAC technicians on staff. However, because of the scope of this work and because this being the winter season, we don't want to pull them away from other duties that we have them at. And so it's one of those projects that we only have two crew members that will be able to do this. We may need to, anyways, hire somebody else to help them out or pull from another other trades. So it's more efficient and more convenient for the district to go ahead and hire somebody else to do it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Okay. Everybody good?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You get a new air conditioner, I hope. Consent agenda? Yes?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Flores.
Number 8, discussion recommendation for Canto ISD to continue the intrusion alarm services to be monitored by Sonatrol of El Paso for the remainder of the fiscal year 2016-2017, total amount $9,985.50.
Any questions?
No questions.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Have we looked into other sources besides Sonatrol?
Yes, in fact, we have. We received a proposal from a company called Pyrocom. However, it came in very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. If we were to change the system for the campuses that are currently under Sonatrol, it would amount to over $100,000.
Wow.
We have an issue that we want to bring to the board probably in January, if not February, to change the service from Sonatrol to another company for CMS, because CMS is the one campus that has given us a lot of trouble with the system. It's only working at a probably 35% capacity right now. And unfortunately, the reason for this being so expensive is because Sonatrol provided all the infrastructure for the system to work. The keypads, the cabling, all of that is, you know, was installed by Sonatrol all those years ago. And so now the system is about ready to be changed. I wish we could do all of them at the same time. However, I think we're going to have to face them up. And of course, CMS being the one that is in dire need of this new system, that's the one that here soon I'm going to be presenting to the board.
I got a question, Madam.
Yes.
President, this is for every school, certain schools only? Is it different
installation
in every school? Do they require different installations?
So we have two campuses that actually are being monitored by Pyrocom. The rest of them are by Sonatrol.
Mm-hmm. And those were the only two that?
Yes, that is correct.
But this is only to cover for two schools?
No. This amount will cover, it will cover AMS, Bell Childress, Canutillo Elementary, Davenport, Garcia, Jose Damian, Lone Star, Central Office, and Support Services.
Have you checked with the other schools to see what they use?
The other school districts?
Uh-huh.
They either use Sonatrol or Pyrocom. There is another company here locally. It's called Matrix. They also do this type of service. So out of those three, we will have to choose, of course, you know.
I'm thinking Anthony uses something else and I can't think of what it is.
There may be other companies. Those are the ones that I'm aware of and familiar with.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
These are in total 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
10.
Yes, ma'am.
10 of them, right? Are they the same flat rate for all of them? If each one is a different needs, or do they have the same flat rate?
It's different. Because it changes depending on the number of entrances, the number of sensors.
Square foot.
Different needs.
Yes, different needs for different campuses. Yes, ma'am.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, so what you're saying, what we're all hearing from you is this will get us through the year, but we're going to need to look forward to improving the system.
Of course, at the end of before the next fiscal year, I will come back to the board and, you know, present to you, okay, this is how much we're going to need for the next fiscal year for Sonatrol to continue monitoring some of the schools, and then for any other company that we may hire for the other campuses.
Okay. Everybody,
I have one more question.
Sure.
Are there any of the contractors out there that would be willing to come in and pretty much replace everything for us and maybe finance it little by little so it'll still fit into our budget?
Yes, and like I said before, this one quote that we've received from PyroComp is precisely to provide those services.
Okay.
But again, if we were to do all these 10 campuses, we would be talking about somewhere over $100,000.
Which is really not bad for all of the campuses. If we do all of the campuses, I don't think it's that amount. And I'm pretty sure if we go into business with a vendor, there we'll probably get a better deal if we do everything versus just a few at a time.
Yes, that is correct. Now, on the one item that I'm going to be presenting to you in February, the number that he gave us for the entire campuses is the same number that I'm going to present for the one campus, which is CMS. So I was thinking that he was going to raise the price for just doing one campus as opposed to 10, but he kept it the same, I guess.
That was good. You know, okay.
In that spirit of cooperation, knowing that we might eventually get to all the campuses.
And Mr., I would like for you to maybe talk to Mr. Carrillo so that his staff is also trained once we do eventually replace everything.
In fact, it was through Mr. Carrillo that we got this quote.
Okay.
And in coordination with him, that we located the specific needs for the CMS, and through his guidance, that's how we determined, okay, these are our weak points in the intrusion alarm system for this campus. So yes, we've been working, you know, hand in hand providing this information.
I'm glad to hear that.
Okay.
Thank
so thank you. So we got a lot out of this. Thank you for the update. We appreciate it. Everybody good for consent agenda?
Yes, yes ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. Sonia, that would take us to 10.
Yes, ma'am. Discussion and recommendation to approve Barron Supply, Ferguson Enterprises, Items Pumping Service, El Paso Phoenix Pumps, Trace Analysis, Inc., Apple Inc., Temporary Alternatives, Inc., doing business as DM Dickinson Personnel Services, Robert Half International, Inc., Skywarn Supplies, and Moonfoot Commercial Tire Systems, LLC, DBA, Goodyear Commercial Tire and Service Center, and other ISD vendors that will exceed an anticipated spending budget of over $10,000 in aggregate during the fiscal year 2016-2017. These vendors support the day-to-day purchases for the district. Ms. Foley.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
You've got the floor.
Yes. I just didn't know if y'all had any questions.
I don't have any questions, Ms. Foley.
You know, I don't really have any questions, but I don't agree with this. We haven't done this before.
I believe at the beginning of the year, it may have been brought over by our purchasing agent, Veronica, to recommend vendors whom we use for day-to-day purchases that go over the $10,000 threshold. And these are additional vendors that were identified that we use on a day-to-day basis.
You know, I can tell you that Robert Half International, I've never seen us use them before except for this last warrant list. So I don't know how they're dated. And there's no real backup on this that tells us what these people do, how they are day-to-day accommodating us. I I guess I just, I'm not seeing the backup here.
I believe,
I believe that the backup is
yeah.
there
yeah,
in the package.
We did Ms. Rose in the bond fund, yeah. It's the vendor list, it's page 93.
Yeah, I see all that, but I don't see the rationale for it, where it says...
What we have...
Yeah, what we're going to do with these people, yeah. What we're going to do with these people day to day.
For example, are you saying like Office Depot?
Office Depot, we do. They're good to go.
Because of office supplies. Mm-hmm. I would guess the tire service, we need to buy tires for our vehicles.
I've never seen... Have we done this in the past?
Yes, ma'am. It has
with these specific vendors?
Not these vendors. Like I said, there was...
These are all new people.
Right, that were presented at the beginning of the fiscal year. At the beginning of the fiscal year, I believe a list similar to this
With
other vendors.
So why weren't these brought at the beginning of the year?
They have just recently been identified, whether we started using them this fiscal year, and now they're approaching that $10,000 threshold.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they have been brought.
Yes, sir.
To contribute to that response, some of these are indeed part of the work that happens through my department, and this falls a little bit on me, not having gone through the whole year of cycle of I never thought that we were going to be spending more than $10,000 on plumbing supplies, knowing full well that our warehouse is well stocked. However, a couple of these are for example, items that now I know that we're going to be over the $10,000 limits. So when Ms. Campbell first originally submitted that list to the board, I never presented that to her, so because I never knew. But now that I know,
yes, sir.
That's why we're bringing it to your attention.
Well, I see yours and understand Barron Supply for plumbing, Ferguson. But it just, I mean, we don't have any, there's no backup on this.
Which we can provide
and
before the
sure,
actual board.
Sure, that would be
meeting.
Very that helpful.
Yes, since, Madam,
yeah.
if you allow me,
yes,
since
sir.
I'm new
yes,
to
ma'am.
This names, I don't need it, and I would like to ask you, for example, Barron Supply, what does it supply? What does it
plumbing, mean? Plumbing supplies.
What about Ferguson?
Plumbing and irrigation as well.
This one has been used month by month?
Yes.
Will you give us a written instead of us doing this right
please,
now?
Please, because I need to know these items.
Yes.
El Paso Phoenix Funds, Trace and...
Because there is. There's no backup. It just gives the same names written down in a list. There's.
We will update the list and provide information as to what type of services that they provide.
Yes. And what
so
we...
all these vendors are associated with your department?
Most of them. Not all of them. Like, for example, on the list, there's also Apple. That's not mine. Basically, the first five on the list, those are mine.
So we'll create a spreadsheet that has the vendor and then
and
the
department
and what they buy. But again, I just want to let the board know if we do need something, we are going to buy it, like, as an emergency
plumbing supply
if we have a sewer. So I know we do, now that it's getting colder, pipes may crack and... So,
and that is in policy, Dr.
Yeah.
Galapagos. That's perfectly within
policy.
You know, let me ask you. No, I won't ask you now. It was in the warrantless question. She'll answer it later.
Chair.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Mary.
These vendors have been used all year long, am I correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them.
Well, these are ones that fall under my department.
But they've been used, all of these vendors have been used all year long. And they've been used previously. They've been on the vendor list for a long time.
Yes, that is correct.
We've been using them. The only thing is that they're reaching the $10,000 mark where it has to come to the board so that we can approve it. We've had several plumbing issues, and so instead of spending $9,000 this year, we're getting up to the $10,000 mark.
But
so
we have
supposed to come to us.
We have spent it. I'll case in point. This is what I just wasn't going to talk about. We spent $22,000 at Northwest Early College High School. It was not brought to the board that I know of yet. I called to ask what it was for. It was for emergency services. at the portable bathroom, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. That was brought because we even had pictures that there were holes in the floor.
I guess I didn't get them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, that was but that what I'm using it as, that was an example going forward that nothing was held up. It was done, completed, everything was okay. Yes.
Yes, correct.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
So I would like to see if we could get the backup on this.
Absolutely.
Please. Thank you. And Sonia, that take us to the next
Thank
one.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Mr. Elfman, number 10, did you want that to only consent, or are you guys bringing it back from the analysis list?
No, I think because the list and the spreadsheet, I think
it can go to consent, and we'll get the backup, and if it's not, pull it out.
Number 11, bond report and procurement.
Let's go C first. That pump, that hard.
In your packages, I have provided a funds report, and I want to go over it with you and address any questions that you may have. The latest report that we got working with the finance department showed that for the 2006 bond, which is Fund 691, we have close to $200,000 available. And out of the 2011 bond, which corresponds to the Fund 692 and 693, we have $2.5 million available or so. That's a total of $2.7. And then we have on that same report, I'm showing to you what's outstanding. And the list includes the work that's going to be needed for the CMS lift station, which, as I've mentioned on previous communications with the board, it's a project that we're waiting for El Paso Water Utilities to basically pull the trigger on that. Also, Tony Flores has some monies that he's going to be using for IT projects, using bond funds as well. We recently completed the surveillance of the phase two of the cameras, an item that was presented to the board for a total of $44,000, $339.00. And then we also have JCI's phase two final payment, which the board recently approved for a total of $4,000. So all of these projects are projects that at the time when we compiled this list were either pending final payment or we haven't completed them. The next one on the list is the renovation of the weight room. We recently completed that project under the $3,000 budget that we had it estimated at. The PIO office has been able to post some of the pictures of the before and after on social media. Then on the list remains $6,000 for Carl Daniel Architects. That's the final payment for their services, given that you know it's still pending the LEED certification process for the Reyes project. So that's why this remains on that outstanding project list. And finally, an item that I have on the agenda tonight for Horizon Construction, final payment for work they performed at the Anna Davenport. So that gives us a total of about $1.6 million. And so if you are to subtract the total available minus the planned expenditures, that leaves us with about $1 million. Now, moving forward, we have a series of indefinitely postponed and newly identified projects. Some of these I've already brought to you, the board, for their approval in executing these projects. But we've also received notification that there are some new projects that need urgent attention. And so the first one on the list is metal canopies at CMS, which if you all remember at the last board meeting, a parent brought that concern to the board. We've gone ahead and presented this information to CBAC, and they have recommended moving forward with that project. So Once I finalize getting the proposals and all the information, this is one item that I will be presenting again to the board for your approval. Then we have Bill Childress septic tank, which is another item on tonight's agenda. And I have a consultant here to address any questions that you may have about that. That is planned to about $120,000. We also have Northwest Holy College PA system for $20,000. An exterior lighting project at AMS for $50,000, which these are just preliminary estimates. And then the baseball upgrades at Camotillo High School, a project that was already started by the designers, but then district said stop the work. AMS restroom remodeling and another project of something that was not completed, but the infrastructure is there for AMS football lighting. On this last project, CBAT still is not fully committed to executing it, but we have it identified. If anything, you know, we know that we have an extra $70,000 that we can use elsewhere. So that gives us a new project total of, you know, $500,000, which would still leave about $500,000 available for bond projects. However, I want to make the board aware that because we don't know exact figures for all of these projects, I want to consider this as a somewhat of a contingency fund for any change orders, any price escalations that we may be getting. I can tell you that right now the bidding market for construction here in El Paso is not favorable because of all the new projects that are coming out. Contractors are not going to be as hungry as sometimes they are, so we're not going to get the best prices if we go for higher construction projects. Now, some of these we could probably wait, but not all of them. There are one or two that are absolutely necessary. Right now. This is basically a picture of where we're at with the bond funds. Of course, you know, we can only work on so many projects at a time, and we've identified those that are urgent. Bill Childress wastewater project being one of them, and so is the metal canopies and the PA system at Neches.
Okay. So, board, what we're requesting. So, again, this is the 2006. That's 10 years ago. This is a 2011, 5 years ago, bond projects. And with the two additional new ones, what we are requesting is that that's the priority that CBAC put them in, doing the metal canopies, the septic, the PA. And like Bruno was saying, the PA system and everything down are really just guesstimates, good guesstimates, because we don't know if those prices are still active today. But we would like to take this in this order, start with the CMS metal canopies, work our way down, and just start again so we don't have to keep coming back. That way we'll let the community know that our 2006-2011 bond is coming to an end. And that's our recommendation, is to continue to follow this list. And if there's a big change order, we'll come back to let you know.
Dr. Galifis, you weren't here. This board went through some really, really hard times. The district went through some amazingly horrible times. Mr. Vasquez has probably four predecessors because of all the mismanagement of funds and soft bids, just a world of trouble that we went through. There's only a few of us here that still remember that. Ms. Quintana, I'm beyond sure you were here. I agree with you that we need to get all of this done. Mark Schnell, it's time to wrap it up, but not without you coming back to the board every step of the way, so that, because ultimately, Dr. Galavis, the buck stops in the boardroom. We're who are responsible.
But I'd also like to remind the board that when I came in, we were $9 million in the red with the bond. and now we're presenting a $2.7 million in the black. So we have created system and structures to ensure the...
That's good.
And I also live in the community.
I know you do. That's great, too.
I just want to, again...
We have to do our due diligence, and that's of no disrespect to you. That's our due diligence. That's what we're elected officials to do, Dr. Galifies.
So, Ms. Searles, I have a question. How would the administration update us?
Well, they're going to need to go out for bids on all of these. Because these are soft numbers. These are not hard numbers. These aren't numbers that we can take and say we're going to spend this. Correct, Mr. Vasquez?
That is correct. Now, just as a point of clarification, soft numbers refer to something different. These are estimates.
These are estimates.
Soft
but
numbers would be,
yes,
for
would
example,
be without.
You would need to pay an engineer.
I understand completely.
Hard numbers that mean
but these are just rough estimates that are quite a few years old.
Well, they've been somewhat updated, but I'll give you an example.
And you're going to have to go out for bid on all of these.
Absolutely, yes.
And so that's what I'm asking for, Ms. Fritzy, that as these go out to bid, as is the normal procedure and policy of the district, that they be brought back to the board to view the bids, to take the best bid, and to cause the district to go forward with the projects.
We can do that.
But wasn't the metal canopies off? Hard bid?
The metal canopies, yes. We do have a hard bid on that one. However, because it's over $30,000, I believe that's the threshold.
It's 10.
Five, 10.
You need to come to the board and what I was going to ask.
For the board, yes, over $10,000.
Yes.
But for the three bids, I believe it's $30,000. Anyways, well, yes.
Yeah. And we'll put this on the January agenda. We could put it on the December agenda if you're ready to go.
Okay.
And we can approve this on the December agenda. You're giving us a bond update here on our agenda review. We can take this right to the full board next week if y'all are ready to go and either give it thumbs up or thumbs down. And we can't wait for those students to have their shade.
I will have that ready for you.
And I do agree with you, Ms. Searles. I think we need. And with the administration that we need to move on and get these projects out of the way, but
absolutely.
We also need to, we're still liable to our constituents to make sure that we are using their tax dollars properly.
And so, Dr. Galavis, we haven't gotten the CBAC minutes
yet.
So we need those forthcoming. And I would very much appreciate, and Sonia, would you please post for our regular board meeting that we add the
metal canopies.
The metal canopies at CMS. Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Vasquez.
You're welcome.
Item B, discussion recommendation to issue final payment to Verizon Construction LTD for the Indiana Davenport ES site improvements in the amount of $12,731.50 using bond funds.
So, I have a question. Is this for the soccer fields?
Yes, it is. And the basketball courts at Davenport.
I was just up there. Mr. Vasquez, those soccer fields are a mess.
They are. Unfortunately, this is one of those instances, like you said before, the previous administration went through a lot of grief with a lot of these projects.
Mm-hmm.
This pay application should have been paid about a year ago, if not longer. Working with the contractor, when I started working for the district, the contractor contacted me around May, and they said, hey, where's our final payment? And I said, wait, where's our final punch list and everything else? And so it took them all summer, to start the process again by going out there. We had them go out there and make repairs. But again, this is one of those projects that's it's already an old project, and here we haven't even paid the final bill. Now, it's not because of the fault of the district. It's because the vendor and the architect never signed the paperwork. And so, I was just made aware of it. When I requested the information, they never submitted to us. In fact, once this item is either approved or denied, I'm still going to have to go back to finance and put a check mark on this contractor that please don't ever use this guy again.
Ever. I mean, so we were promised. We sat here We were promised that it was going to be beautiful, that it was going to be as nice as all the other schools. And I have a problem paying these people.
Well, the first one was bad.
The first one was ridiculous. The architect, if you'll remember, the architect gave them a soccer field about the size of this book.
With a ledge.
Yes. Do you all remember that?
Warranty or something? When did
the
you start
warranty,
this project?
The warranty, of course, already expired. Again, this is one of those.
How long ago they started?
I think it's been over 2 years. Wow. The warranty is typically
warranty
1 year. Yes, the warranties are on construction projects are typically 1 year. But again, like I said, this is a very irregular pay application that I'm bringing to the board because, like I said, This should have been paid a long time ago.
It's been in the past eight months.
It is.
I just went there last week.
I agree.
And I visited it, and it really hurts me to pay that much for nothing that they did.
Well, again.
And maybe they did it, but sorry, but it doesn't look good at all. Seems like he didn't do a good job, or.
That would be one factor. The other factor, again, and, before my time, I don't know what the upkeep of those fields were before I got here. So by the time I got here, one of the first things I did back in May was go take a look at those fields, and the concrete was cracking. They fixed some of it. What I feel under the contract agreement, what I feel we could push for them to fix. Now, regrading, if there was erosion problems, if there was something different that created the condition that the fields are at now, that, again, is something that happened outside of warranty.
Ms. Searles, could
yes,
this
ma'am.
Be a project for Hector?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't pay them a dime, that'd probably be better if we're not planning on using them again and they didn't do a good job. So.
That was on the second try. I don't know if it was the same company.
I don't think it was the same company. Dr. Galavis, this is under your watch. What do you recall?
Yes, I do recall the administration's recommendation was to put artificial turf at Davenport. And CBAC came, and they were very adamant, no, we can grow grass. And everybody kept telling me on the outside that we've been trying, I think former trustee Mr. Coronado Sergio was saying, we've been trying, and there's never.
All it is desert.
There's no grass.
Because of the terrain.
Yeah, you can't grow.
And
anything.
I don't remember them saying that.
Well, I said it since we built the school, and they promised us that they would bring fill dirt. Mm-hmm. They promised us that it would be perfect.
Sprinklers,
everything. So I think that is a good job for Mr. Rodriguez. Would the board...
Hector's looking at us.
Hector?
I saw him paying attention. He was looking our way. And he was all,
Maybe we could discuss that when it gets to your audit plan.
Okay.
Sound okay?
That's fine.
Okay. So, board, what do you want to do about the approval of the funds?
Well, that would mean approving paying them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just hold it.
So I think we should hold it if we're going to make it a project for Hector.
Let him on it.
Okay.
Yes.
So this will not be on the agenda.
Okay. And is there a time frame hold until January, February? What is your...
I think January would be good. It's not going to take Hector very long.
Hector?
It doesn't seem like a very big project, so I think maybe February the latest you could give us maybe an update. I know because the holidays are coming and we're going to be off. So,
yes, this is certainly not a big project.
Right.
Perhaps even as a new item.
But there's a backup to it.
Right.
That it goes back to
the original contract.
Mm-hmm. Here was a contract. They built this. Then we paid for it a bunch of money. And then here's the new contract. You're supposed to build the big one, and it's still no good. So you're probably going to have to go and review the minutes all the way back, Hector. I would say February, maybe.
February. I would say February just to.
But we'll let Hector just
then.
Think, Hector.
But if January you're ready, then we'll go with January. We'll kind of. because just, I mean, we have the holidays coming up, and they're going to be off for a few weeks, so we have to take that in consideration, too. So I think February is going to be our best bet.
We'll talk about it on your agenda item.
Okay, sounds
good. So that would take us to the next agenda item, Sonia. 11C.
Discussion and recommendations to develop an infrastructure project at Bell Childers Elementary School to ensure compliance with TCEQ regulations for the amount not to exceed $120,000 using bond funds.
So we're back to another square of not in your, under your watch, but in our district financials. We can all open them up and we can look in the back of them. And you can see that the district paid $141,000 to have this done already. So on page 32 in the district financials.
It's part of the 2006 bond.
Yes, that is correct. Yes,
we it was under.
Identified those previous upgrades to the website.
So we did all of this once, and now through no fault of yours, we're going to have to repeat the whole.
Well, not necessarily repeat the whole process. Basically, what happened was that because the permit was allowed to lapse, when the new permit was filed with DCEQ, they went ahead and did two things. They had an administrative review, and they had a technical review. The administrative review went by and they said, okay, they have this infrastructure, they've done this in the past, they allowed it to lapse, and we're going to fine them. That's when we presented to the board a document saying we need to pay a TCEQ fine, and then that was the administrative review. The technical review, though, noted that because the discharge of the school is so minimum, there's no sense for them to approve a permit for the type of infrastructure that we currently have. The infrastructure that we currently have is what's called the wetlands. So basically waste comes into a big box in the ground and that seeps and that provides the nutrients for big plants to grow in that little area. If you drive by Bill Childress, you're going to see couple of dinky little plants, you know, scattered in that area where in reality it should be, you know, a wetland.
Yes.
Okay. So what they are saying now is that because of the discharge that we have, and even if we had the school at full capacity, even if we had that, we would still not be able to, you know, meet the requirements to have that infrastructure in place. In fact, what we need is septic tank and a leach field. Okay. Now, so that's
and that will satisfy
infrastructure, correct. Now, during the review process, TCEQ noted that the district was being grandfathered in with the application. But once we allowed that to lapse, that's when they said the buck stops right here. This is what you have to do next.
Okay.
So
thank you. That was a really good comprehensive overview of what it is. Any questions?
No questions.
We have no choice but to do this, correct?
We have no choice. In fact, the TCEQ is basically waiting for the county use board to accept this recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, if you do, I am going to write a formal letter to TCEQ advising them that we are going to proceed with that, and that will buy us the window of opportunity continue operating the existing infrastructure until the new one is in place. Again, fortunately, we were able to find and also discuss the matter with CBAC, which they recommended using bond funds, even though, like you said before,
but I agree.
Bond funds had already been used for upgrades to this infrastructure. And there are other advantages. At the end of the day, the
district
will reap advantages for. One of them is not having to be in compliance with TCEQ anymore once we have that septic tank and leach field. All that goes away. We don't have to renew those permits. We don't have to ensure compliance through testing and all of that.
Okay. So Board, with your permission, I'd like to see, it sounds like Mr. Vasquez has got this really pretty much gelled up, if we could see this as well as the shade canopies for action to go forward with.
Another point of action that we would have to address is the use of our consultant. We currently have a consultant that has been helping us submit the plans for permit and the application for the permit at both CMS and Bill Shildress. And the number that I have here, the $120,000, includes what soft costs. Okay. For their professional services. Now, it'd be my recommendation to add their proposal for doing this, because they've been thoroughly involved with, you know, TCEQ, and that will also save us a lot of time in not having to go out for a new request for qualifications for engineers that may know nothing about them. They're going to start from
scratch. Yes, understand.
So, because their services are only $16,000 or so, about so. I think
it goes hand in glove with this, so please bring it to the board, sir.
Correct.
For Wednesday night's regular meeting, Sonia, with action.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next agenda item.
Yes, ma'am. Number C2, discussion and recommendation for Canoteo High School to continue their project participation with the sole vendor, College Entrance Examination Board, DBA, the College Board, to offer AP exams to all interested eligible students.
Are we all good with this?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sonia.
I'm sorry, Ms.
Yes, ma'am.
We're Dr. Galaviz, and since Ms. Klotzettel's not here, we are still offering to kids that can't pay the $15, we still have funds for that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's my only question. In case our kids cannot afford to pay for their exam, we don't want them to miss out on it.
We should have more than for two, just in case, no? More of a safety net?
Well, it can. I mean, this is the...
How many students are taking it?
Yeah. This is the...
410.
Approximately 500 kids enrolled,
and only two can afford it.
That
you know for sure.
I would bet there's more than two.
There's going to be more, but this is the hard number that they gave us, the 18,000.
Yeah, and so I guess what board members are asking, Dr. Galaviz, would you please ensure that if there are children that cannot afford to pay their fee, that we will indeed, as a district, cover that and make sure it's they're taking their test absolutely, and that they know they can get this done.
I know that's happening a lot with ACT. There are kids that are not fitting within the budget for them to be able to, I guess, their income level.
Okay.
And some kids cannot afford it, and they don't.
Are they not informing their counselors or informing?
Well, from what I'm not quite sure, and it's a totally different, I don't even know if I should, I was going to tell you this after, but.
Do.
But yeah.
Tell her after.
Just wait till after.
But just make sure that.
I'll talk to you when we're
done. Good evening, Ms. Brigham has. New board member Brigham has just arrived. It is 6:23. Ms. Brigham, we are on agenda number C2.
Second page.
C3.
We're just finishing up C2, Dr. Galaviz. We didn't.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So everybody's good?
Yes.
To the consent. Now C3, Dr. Galaviz.
All righty. Item 3, discussion recommendation for the purchase of textbooks for the 3 new dual credit classes that are being added to the dual credit program at Canoteo High School in the spring 2017 semester. Utilizing Cengage Learning, the vendor offering the best value to the district through Viaport Cooperative Contract Number 487-15, total amount is $11,583.
Everybody good with this going to the
yes, ma'am.
Consent agenda?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Fine, Sonia. Next item.
All right. The internal audit. Number 1, discussion and recommendation regarding audit plan 16-17, second quarter status updates. Mr. Rodriguez.
Did anyone have any questions of Mr. Rodriguez on his update?
No. No, I spoke to Mr. Rodriguez earlier today.
Ms. Quintana?
Any questions?
You good? Okay. Mr. Rodriguez, go forward. Everybody's happy with your update.
Yes,
Thank you very much.
Go to the consent agenda.
Item number two, discussion and recommendation regarding a request for an internal audit review of an employee complaint.
So we've had a request from administration about an employee complaint that's quite severe, and we'd like to, as a board, approve Mr. Rodriguez to investigate what needs to be investigated. And that would cause his audit plan for the year to change up a little bit.
To deviate, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody okay with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That'll be fine. Next agenda item.
Number three, discussion and recommendation regarding a request for an internal audit of the high energy consumption at Vegas Elementary.
I ask for this. Y'all know that I look at the warrant list every month. And every month, Reyes has, and this is not because of the children or the parents or the teachers or anybody. I'm not saying that. But there's a significant difference. We notice anywhere from, you know, $2,000 a month on a regular monthly basis of a higher, this only the electric, not the gas, a higher electric bill significantly than any of our other elementary schools. They all the other elementary schools, you know, run hand in glove. They're pretty much all about the same every month. Reyes is extremely high, and I can't quite understand why. And I've asked and asked and asked, and all we can say is, yeah, it's really high. So I've asked Mr. Rodriguez if we could bring this to him as a board to say, you know, maybe it's something simple. Maybe everybody's forgetting to turn the lights off at night. I don't know. Maybe somebody's tapped into our electric there and, you know, half of the neighborhood gets electricity. I don't have a clue. But I'd like for him to look into this and to see how there can be such a huge, it's not a small difference, it's thousands of dollars. And when we have each month budgets that say we don't have enough money to go around, it seems foolish to let that energy just, you know, go by the wayside without looking into, could we make it better? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Brigham.
It makes noise, so.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. Okay.
We can hear you.
All right. Doesn't JCI have this form that Metasys, is that the name of the?
Yes. Metasys.
Okay.
And it's the, yeah. The.
It's in my head, so, okay. So, and my question is, I agree that we need to look into it, but what I'm, why can't we have the people that are supposed to be looking at it look into it?
Because they're looking at it for themselves, probably.
Okay, probably. I didn't know, if Mr. Bruno could look into it, if he could, because I know you can look, at least get that baseline from that.
The energy consumption.
The energy consumption, mm-hmm. And then see, and then you can see exactly, answer some of your questions that you have, Ms. Searles.
But Will, what I'm asking is let Hector, you know, chart it.
Sure. Oh,
figure
I have no problem with it.
I don't think it's a huge undertaking.
But I'd like Mr. Bruno to also be part of it.
I bet he will. I bet he's going to be the best customer.
Yeah.
No, in fact, this would not be the first project where Hector and I collaborate on a project such as this. I think we have a good working relationship. So, yes, I'd be
okay.
More than willing to provide.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody good for expanding Hector's scope?
Yes, ma'am.
Of work on his audit plan?
And, you know, exactly what Ms. Searles described, you know, trying to find, you know, the causes related, you know, to the energy consumption as it is presented now and, you know, trying to see, you know, working with Bruno, if there's any, you know, I guess areas where we can make improvements. I think that's a good objective in school.
But don't make the children and the teachers be sweaty or freezing or, you know, it's not at their
take their jackets.
Yeah, you know, sorry, y'all have to wear hats and gloves while you're in school and have little icicles. No, no, no. But, you know, if there is something extenuating outside the comfort level of the children and the teachers, we got to jump on that.
Yes.
So, yes, please.
And Mr. Boswell, sorry, Ms.
Yes, go ahead.
Are we still going to do that where we block out everything for the holiday?
Yes.
Yes.
Shut down.
Shut down.
Energy shut down.
Sorry.
Yes, yes. We did it for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Good.
And we'll do it again for the Christmas holiday.
Okay.
I'm happy. I didn't put it on the on this week's report, but I will put it on next week's report. I'm happy to report that, you know, all the campuses have helped and contributed to that through their custodians. So, yes,
I think it would be nice. I know incentives are nice, so maybe the board could look at it. I know it were, but maybe giving a campus some kind of
we have an energy challenge.
Yeah. Yes,
we have it.
Yeah. Correct. Okay.
And they get $1,000, or they did last year.
Last year, Jose Damian won that one.
Okay.
A few months ago, the board asked me about this, and we wanted to bring it to the campuses again in January.
Okay.
So. Once the new year starts, the new calendar year starts, we'll be bringing that challenge again.
Yes, okay.
And we so, gave $1,000.
I was reading on some of the information that was passed along, and I was able to find, you know, some campuses were saying, no, you didn't count my 10 points for. So they get excited about it. So
great.
I'm looking forward to
good.
It.
Yeah.
A good incentive.
Yeah, savings is money in the bank. No. It's pencils and papers at your children's.
Correct.
Great.
Okay, to the consent agenda. And Sonia, that's it.
Item number 3, community input.
What about the other?
The Horizon, the Davenport Cycle Field.
Oh, sorry. Board, we also, I'm so sorry. Thank you, Dr. Galavis and Mr. Rodriguez. We also had discussed in this meeting that we would like him to expand that to look at the Horizon soccer field issue.
Exactly.
Everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I just have one question related to the priority of these projects. Are these projects that you would like me to perform immediately? And if so, then, you know, just the understanding that the
I would
projects would be
say,
delayed.
And this is just my take, y'all tell me if you're good. Employee complaint should be priority one.
Yes.
Soccer field priority two. Mm-hmm. And electricity number three.
Okay.
I agree, Ms.
Everybody?
Yes.
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 Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Does that answer?
Yes. Thanks for the question.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Hector.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't say we didn't give you anything.
Item 3, community input.
Mr. Member of the community, do you want to tell it? What do you want? A badge or something?
I'm a member of the community.
He's going to be head of his neighborhood watch.
Well, I'm the neighborhood watch person for my neighborhood. We make, community up there. Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we weren't listening. We were cutting up. I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. So really quick, I just want to explain what's going on with AT&T and Level 3. We recently migrated all phone lines from AT&T to Level 3. It's the current carrier. Okay. We were having a bunch of issues with AT&T. There were increasing costs, and they were not letting us know about it. Some lines, the costs were really high. If we compare to what we're paying right now, let's say $1,700 a month for one line, when we're paying $400 a month here. So based on all the issues that we had, the high cost, they didn't have a contract that we can attach to for E-rate. We decided to, in the next E-rate round, to look for alternatives. So we look for Level 3.
Mm-hmm.
They migrated our lines. Every single campus got migrated to Level 3. With that being said, is that Level 3 is the one that owns the A77, A66 numbers in County Unit. Okay. After I knew the issues that you were having with Cyril's on AT&T, I called some people from AT&T. They were a little bit resistant at the beginning, mentioning that the issue was here in Cantillo. I explained the whole thing. The lady actually called the mom to try and call back, and she realized that it's an issue in AT&T. Now, they go to your home, but it's they're not going to find the issue at your home. It's not happening there. It's happening in the central office where they're supposed to route the calls from AT&T to level 3. For whatever reason, AT&T is not doing that. They're getting those calls lost. We call level 3 and we ask for a report of all the calls coming out from your home phone, and they say they're not reaching out to us. We have no records of those calls reaching out to us. So if those calls are not getting to level 3, we're not going to get them either, right? Because they, the company that routes those calls to us. And if they don't get the calls, it's because AT&T is not sending those calls to them. So I talked to Diana Green from AT&T, and she mentioned that she no longer works for the same department, that she understands what the problem is. And she gave me the number of AT&T Residential Services for Lucero, someone Lucero, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's her supervisor.
I called him. I sent emails, and he doesn't respond back. So
I had them to my home yesterday all afternoon. Had them to the front box. It's not just me.
Right.
It's her.
It's anybody.
It's anybody with an 877 number right. trying to call. But I can call Miss Pekarsky. How about that?
That 877 number?
Yep. I can call Miss Pekarsky and call her all day long. She's a poor woman. She's probably sick of me. But that's an interesting, and it's not, I can't call Davenport, so no 886.
886.
Yeah, no 886. And I know that a lady who lives on La Paz called me the other day. She was not very happy that the school crossing, or no, the school zone sign by Garcia stays on all the time. And I told her, I said, well, you know, call up to central office. She can't call. She's on an 877 number also. So AT&T tells me at the end of the day yesterday, literally at 5:30, that they were not responsible. And the reason that we would know they weren't responsible is because there was a beginning to this issue. They said, soon as we changed over is when the problem happened. Because they asked me, when did you not be able to call? And I said, it's been maybe 2 months now. Could be 2.5. It's been going on a long time. And they said it was the changeover. They didn't have any liability at all. It was the new people.
Yeah, we agree. The trigger is when we move those lines over. Right? But that happens in the business a lot. There are businesses that change.
So what do we do then?
So what you need to do is that it's not that the technician that goes to the house that they can find the problem. They're not going to find it. AT&T, this needs to be escalated. My recommendation to you is that the people that went to your house is telling that you need to escalate this. And it needs to be seen by the engineers in AT&T. And I write a report with the ticket numbers from level 3 from AT&T. If you give them a copy of that, in one of them is
but level 3. It's just not us as board members. It's the lady over on La Paz. She didn't even have a kid in school here. She's just wants to call. And so it is a community issue, and I feel it falls on the district that our community can't call.
I think
please.
One of the things, too, I didn't get to do is I think we need to inform the schools, and I think PIO could take a role in that as far as finding out, are you having trouble? You know, and I think we need to, as a district, tell the community, we know there's a problem here. We're trying to, you know, work through it. And since it is a community issue, I think maybe if we could, you know, use your report. Maybe if PIO could then send the report to the right person.
At AT&T.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant idea, Ms. Brigham.
We really don't want the technical side to do it, because then they'll say, well, it's all technical, let the technical people handle it. And we can't, because they're going to have to do something on their part to connect, and they're dragging their feet. And AT&T is known for that.
Yes,
so
they
I
are.
So I think, nor can the people come into your door. You know, they're the field technicians.
Yeah.
So
no, they can't do it.
But I do think we need to let the people from the 877 is we need to say, people, we know there's a problem. We don't want the people to think that the phones are being unanswered.
Or they're busy. I thought Sonia just talked on the phone all the time.
Do you know what I mean? Because it doesn't sound, you don't get a recorded message saying, it gives a funny signal.
It's a
It's a bad signal.
It's a busy signal.
The phone is being lost. And that means that when you dial, there's nobody else to pick up the call.
Right.
So it doesn't even reach out to our system.
No, it's not coming through. But,
I agree.
We need to let our community know that we understand they might not be able to reach us. And if they're not able to reach us, you know, at least if we put it on a banner or something, or get let.
Or do we
know.
Do the Survey Monkey and, you know, survey out? Could all the parents with 886-866 numbers please try to call your schools? Or, you know, here's a list. Could you call these numbers?
Then they'll all call AT&T.
And yeah, you know, the squeaking wheel gets the most grease. We've got to find a way to remedy this.
But I think as a district, we need to tell the community.
Yes.
We know there's a breakdown in communication, and we're working on it. And, you know, cell phones can still get to us, and, you know, other ways. But I think we need to let them know that there's a problem with communication. And I think that has to come from the district.
Dr. Galifese, can you...
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Ms. Searles, real quick. I'm sorry, Dr. Galifese.
No,
I didn't mean
ahead.
To interrupt you, but... because we're moving into different kind of technologies, we're no longer going to have those actual landlines. We're going to end up having to have digital boxes. So...
This is all digital. Yeah.
But, for example, my home phone line is with a box. It works through satellite. Like cell phones do.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually all of that is going to, that's why they're doing away with.
Yeah, but I pay $130 a month to AT&T till they come bring me a box. Yeah. I need to get something for my money.
No, this is something AT&T can fix.
Oh, sure they can. Somebody can fix this. This is not insurmountable. It had a start date. Before that date, everything was good.
And I know they're not happy because we're moving the business away from them. So they're not...
But that should not be, they should not have the ability to punish the citizenry of Kaneateo because they're not happy we moved our business from them. That, once again, a public affairs sort of thing. How could you do this?
And unfortunately, from the technical point of view, here in the district,
that's down in Davenport. Yeah, Davenport, too. Okay, thank you. Please keep... Okay, board meeting adjourned.
Item number 4 adjourned at 6:40.
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember where it was? There's two down there. And there's one there.
Laurie, would you like to give this to me?
What's up, have a good rest of the evening. Have a good rest of the evening, Ms. Trump.
You too. Don't
worry.
You think this?
Ms. Searles, have a good rest of the evening.
Ms. Fritzy, thank you. Have a good rest of the meeting. Oh, look at this man. Thank you.
Yeah.
AC. Okay. From what I understand, but they don't put it into the ancient brackets. The parents are like, oh, they're crazy. I can't afford that. And so they just don't pay for the points to get
and then we've got our struggle. What it is, it sounds like, is they see that and they don't think about going and asking the counselor, I don't have the money. That's what's happening.
I can't pay that. I can't pay that.
I can't pay that.
It's district wide, yeah.
Right. We don't have to pay for some college applications. Because the bank's like, oh my god, you go figure it out. I just have not had time to call or ring the bell.
Okay. It's good to know, but I can talk to Mr. Prado how to oversee the counselors.
It's like better than being fixed.
You know what? He's been through a lot.
I agree. That's not the message we want to say.
No, it's not.
Not you go figure it out.
Nice night.
How are you?
Well, hopefully it's okay. So thank you for
I have my car, our windows call Sonia.
Good night.
Or are you going to open the door?
They want to go to buses. But you know, the only good thing is he's only got a couple of companies.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yes.
10, 12 years. If he keeps it up, maybe the client is going to
end. Yeah.
And you're seeing how much money he wants to do that.
Hey, you gotta open your door.
Why?
She opened her door. She closed it. She slammed it shut.
I think somebody else has broken the seat.
Probably they just pulled it.
I just think that our house is in the other.
Yeah, I think.